Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Bills Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Highest archangels in glory, strength and honor. patch on your shirt. We're going to give you one of those, a sticker there. We want to remind you about Thursday being the National Day of Prayer. So we want to give you one of those stickers as you leave this morning. We want that to be a reminder. Remember, we really need to pray for our country this morning. Bobby Slater, you lead us in the offertory prayer.
Our gracious, kind Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we ask you to remember us during this service today, God. We pray if there be one in our midst today that knows you not, God, that it might be the blessed hour that they come and receive.
Yes.
We pray for our nation today, God, that it might turn back to you, God, and call upon you. You might direct this nation the way that it should go, Lord. We pray for each of those that are praying for our country, God. Just bless their prayers, God. For those that are serving our country, God, that we still have freedom, that we can come out and worship you, God. We thank you for them, and we ask you to watch and care over them, God. For our missionaries on home fields and farm fields, just bless them, God, and give them their needs that they have to spread thy word, God. And we're thankful that we do have a church that believes in you, and we can come out and worship you, God, and feel thy spirit here in this church, God. Forgive us now. We ask you to bless this offering that it will for the building of thy kingdom, God. Forgive us for our sins and for and we fail you for these things. We ask in thy name for thy sake. Amen.
Amen. Now I live.
could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live free in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved and forgiven. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace.
Saved by grace. Thank you all for that. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. It's certainly a lot better to be here than to be in the Johnson City Medical Center. I love y'all. Been there too. I was there last weekend at this time, anxious to go home. As a matter of fact, I was ready for them to let me leave about this time last Sunday. But I appreciate all the phone calls and the folks that visited. And I'm feeling a lot better. I see my doctor, and he said, you might be taking just a little bit too much medicine, and he said that we're going to reduce that dose, and that may solve it. So you continue to pray, and hopefully that will solve this situation. But I did find out that I have a heart and not just a thumping gizzard. So that was good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture from which I'm going to take my text this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we could come and be in your house. Lord, we just thank you for how you bless our hearts through the song service this morning. We just thank you for the wonderful grace of Jesus that washes us and cleanses us from our sins, Lord. Yes. Lord, we just ask that you bless the message now in a special way, that you'd speak to hearts, you'd do a work in lives. And if there is a lost one that's here this morning, that they'd see their need for salvation and they'd come to know you before they leave this place today. And we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now we know that the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, to be the hall of faith in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit in this chapter selects out of good men's lives
their most brilliant instances of faith. Now, my father's here today, and a few years ago, we had the privilege of going to Tazewell, Tennessee, to Camp Jubilee. We took the young people from my previous church on a mission trip there. And we decided that if we could take those young people and we could get them away from cell phones and iPods and internet and computers, and we could work them really hard during the day and then preach to them at night, that we could have an impact on their lives. And the Lord richly blessed us while we were down there. They about worked us to death, but they richly blessed us while we were down there. Camp Jubilee, by the way, is run by Dr. Ronnie Owens. Many of you know him. He's the pastor of Higher Ground Baptist Church. And so we went down there the week before because it takes a lot of work. It's a rustic camp, and it takes a lot of work to get camp ready for those students to come. Well, as we were preparing to go down, our youth director came to me, and his name is Bobby Parks, and he asked me if I would preach to our young people while we were there. And so I brought a message that night from Hebrews chapter 12. There was a guy down at camp by the name of Ryan. Ryan, we called him the water boy. He helped solve a lot of the water problems at camp. Ryan was a student at that time at Clear Creek Seminary, and he'd been coming to some of our services, and he actually happened to miss the night that I was preaching. He had another meeting to go to, but he said, "I heard about your message." He said, "I was checking up on you." And he said, "If you like the book of Hebrews," he said, "I'd like to give you a book." And he gave me a book entitled, "What's Faith Got to Do with It? Everything." And it's written by Dr. Mark Parton, who is a friend of Brother Ronnie's. And this author dedicated each chapter of his book to one of the heroes that we find in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So I started reading this book, and it's a really, really good book. And I started reading Hebrews chapter 11 along with it, and I was studying there, and I got down to verse 22, and I read this verse. "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." And the Lord spoke to my heart from that verse. And I really began to ponder, why is this verse in Scripture? And I thought, well, I'm going to go to this book that I've got. It's a really good book. And I'm going to see what the author has to say. Well, the author was silent. He had absolutely nothing to say. You see, my friends, in this passage of Scripture, we have a mystery. Joseph lived one of the most eventful lives and perhaps one of the most interesting lives in all of Scripture. One author said that 25% of the book of Genesis is devoted to the life of Joseph. And there is no doubt that Joseph lived a life of great faith. Now, the Holy Spirit might have said, through the author of Hebrews, "By faith, Joseph escaped the temptation of sin with Potiphar's wife." He could have written, "By faith, Joseph, when he was in prison, interpreted the dream of the butcher and the baker." He could have written, "By faith, Joseph interpreted the dreams of the Pharaoh and became the ruler of Egypt." The Holy Spirit could have recorded in the book of Hebrews how Joseph delivered his family from famine in the time of distress. Yet the author of Hebrews chooses the dying scene of Joseph's life as his greatest illustration of his faith in God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, that the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And when the Lord looks at us, he pierces to the core. And when the Lord looks at Joseph, he declares the most important part of Joseph's life, where faith is present in more force than in any other time in Joseph's life. To us, it's a mystery. Why is Joseph's instructions about the burial of his body his most notable act of faith? Look with me in Genesis chapter 49. Verses 29 through 33. Jacob, who was Joseph's father, gave the same commandments to his children. Genesis chapter 49, verse 29. "And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. And there they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, and there they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now Jacob commanded his children to carry his body back to the cave, the burial place of his family, where his fathers rested. So why was Jacob's burial not listed as a case of faith as Joseph's was? My granddaddy Shanks, whenever he was 89 or 90 years old, picked up the telephone and he called my father. Mr. Cracker back there has been my neighbor for a long time. He was my grandfather's neighbor. He called up on the telephone quite often. So it wasn't unusual for him to call, but he called up my father and he said that Decoration Day was coming up at the Pleasant Vale Cemetery in Greene County. That's where my grandparents and my great-grandparents are buried. And he said to my father, he said, I want you to take me to the Pleasant Vale decoration. Now, my grandfather was in poor health at the time, and it surprised my dad that he wanted to go. Now, in the past, Decoration Day had always been a family tradition, but my grandfather and my father hadn't attended in years. Well, we found out later why he wanted to go. My grandfather wanted to go grave shopping. He wanted to go pick out the place where he was going to be buried. He pointed out the plot to my father, where his father and mother, my great-grandparents, were buried. And he said, here's the place where I want to be buried. And they reserved his cemetery plot that day. And my grandfather died at the age of 91. And we buried him and my grandmother right there in the place that he requested. You see, Jacob wanted to be buried in his family's tomb because of his natural affection. He speaks about his relationship to Abraham and Isaac and Leah. He desires to be buried with his kin. Now, of course, because of Joseph's natural affection, that would have caused him to want to be buried there as well. But that's not the reason that he states that he wants to be buried there. His reasons are much deeper. Jacob demands that his body be buried at once, which the children of Israel could easily do. Joseph was in power in Egypt at this time. And so anything that Jacob wanted for a funeral would be provided. Jacob didn't ask for anything that couldn't already be done. There was no remarkable faith in Jacob's request. Jacob requested an immediate burial. But Joseph, looking forward in faith, believing the promises of God, that the land of Canaan was going to belong to his children, said he did not want to be buried until that promise was fulfilled. He didn't want to be buried until his children took possession of the land. He wished for his bones to remain with the children of Israel during their captivity and their return. He wished to be buried with his fathers, which was a natural wish, but he was so certain that his children would come out of captivity, that he postpones his burial until that glad event. And in death, he displays to his children his great faith in God, the Word of God, and the promises of God. This was a remarkable act of faith by Joseph. And God has chosen this instance of dying faith and Joseph's command concerning his bones to award praise to Joseph for displaying complete confidence in the promises of God. And so in this passage of Scripture this morning, we're going to find some valuable lessons in faith. First of all, in these words from Joseph's deathbed, we see demonstrated the power of faith. The power of faith. We see the power of faith over worldly prosperity. In Mark chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Amen.
Now I want us to notice the difficulty in Joseph's case, and then I want us to see his great faith in triumphing over this difficulty. Joseph had lived through some trials in his life. He was sold into slavery by his brethren. He became a servant in Potiphar's house. And while he's in Potiphar's house, he's falsely accused and thrown into prison. While in prison, he interprets the dream of the butler. And the butler forgets about him as soon as he gets out of prison. And it's not until Pharaoh has his dream that Joseph is remembered. And then when Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, he is elevated from the absolute lowest position in all of Egypt to a position of absolute power. The Bible says that Joseph was made king of Egypt. Pharaoh said in Genesis chapter 41, verse 40, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only enthroned will I be greater than thou." Joseph was in all respects except in name the absolute ruler of the nation of Egypt. He could do just as he pleased. When he rode his chariot down the street, a herald went out in front of him and cried, "Bow the knee." Yet all of this did not keep Joseph from possessing a faith in God, a faith that persevered to the end, a faith that was alive even in death.
Right.
You need to remember that the society that Joseph lived in was involved in the very worst kind of false religion. The Egyptians were all idolaters. They worshipped all kinds of animals, the sun and the moon and the Nile River. Egypt was a land filled with idolatry. So there must have been a deep, sound faith and trust in God in the life of Joseph. Without faith, Joseph would have never been able to live in Egypt and preserve his integrity. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." What is it that overcomes the world? It's faith. It's our faith. It's faith that saves us and faith that keeps us.
Man.
We're saved by faith and we walk by faith.
Right.
We are born children of God by faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Faith is the only way that you and I can overcome this evil, sinful world that's around us. So here we see the power of Joseph's faith in his triumph over worldly circumstances. Second, I want you to see the value of a profession of faith. The value of a profession of faith. The first fruit of Joseph's faith was this, that he would not be an Egyptian. Now, he had not been asked to be an Egyptian under slavery. Anybody would have refused that. He had not been asked to be an Egyptian in the middle class. And this might have been a desirable position from a worldly point of view, just to be one in the crowd. But Joseph had the opportunity to be an Egyptian of the highest grade. He was exalted. The Bible says that he was lifted up to the rank of king of Egypt. And he could have become a naturalized citizen of Egypt and his family also. Joseph was called upon to accept the honor and the riches of the most dignified office in Egypt. But he still would not be an Egyptian. And his deathbed provided him with an opportunity to testify that he was an Israelite and not an Egyptian. And he did not hesitate.
Right.
He never wavered. He could have been buried in a sarcophagus in Egypt. But no, he won't be buried there, for he is not an Egyptian. He professed a different citizenship. If you're here and you're saved today, we have a heavenly citizenship.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." J. Vernon McGee says that word conversation means politia, meaning to act as a citizen. So we can change the word conversation to citizenship and keep the context of the verse. "For our citizenship is in heaven." When the lost sinner trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he becomes a citizen of heaven. His name is written in the book of life. The lost sinner is a child of God, and he professes that faith by baptism and church membership and a changed lifestyle as a demonstration that he is a citizen of heaven.
Right.
Citizenship is important. When you travel to another country, it's essential that you have a passport that proves your citizenship. None of us would ever want to suffer the fate of Philip Nolan in the classic tale, The Man Without a Country. Because he cursed the name of his country, Nolan was sentenced to live aboard a ship and never again see his native land or hear its name or news about its progress. And for 56 years, he was on an endless journey from ship to ship and sea to sea. And finally, he was buried at sea. He was a man without a country. The Christian's name is written in the book of life, and this determines his final entrance into the heavenly country. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." When you confess Christ on earth, the Bible says that he confesses your name in heaven.
Right.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." The Bible says that if you're a child of God, if you've accepted him by faith, your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life forever, and your citizenship is in heaven forever.
Amen.
Joseph was a man of wealth and rank and station. And he showed his fellowship with his father Israel by bringing his father and his brethren down into Goshen. And he provided for his family there. And he looked out for their needs and their interests. But it appears to me that Joseph never failed at the proper time to say to the Egyptians, "I am not one of you. My family is down there in Goshen." Jacob knew that his family would be despised. And so he said to them, Joseph knew that his family would be despised. And so he said to them, "You keep my bones so that when they degrade you, they may degrade me. I'm going to stay with you through all your future sorrows, for I am one of you."
Right.
True faith will cause the child of God to say, "I am one of God's people. My soul is joined to Christ and his church in all conditions. And no matter what the trial or temptation that comes my way, I'm going to live a life that is pleasing to him because I am one of his children."
Amen.
Joseph's faith led him to declare openly his confidence in the promises of God. Look with me now in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. On his deathbed, Joseph declared this to his people. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob." If your faith is real, you ought to feel compelled to go out into this world and say, "I believe in the gospel of Christ. I believe in the promises of God. I believe that he will keep his promises. And I declare myself to be a believer of his truth."
Amen.
Joseph professed his faith by showing his belief that God would keep his promises and bring his people out of Egypt. And I don't know of a better way that he could have shown his faith than by saying to the children of Israel, "You keep my bones. Don't you bury them until you go yourselves into the land of Canaan. One day, God is going to deliver you from Egypt forever. And you'll take possession of the land that God has promised you." The believer professes his faith by his works and his deeds in life. And the process of dying. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also."
Right.
Faith that is real. Faith that has power. Faith that results in a changed life. True saving faith leads to action.
Right.
It leads to works. And if your faith never causes you to speak up for God or serve Him, it's not a true faith.
Amen.
It never came from God, and it won't carry you to God. Joseph's profession demonstrated his faith in God. And Joseph demonstrated his faith in a way that would encourage the faith of others. If you're here and you're saved today, it's your desire that your faith be found in the hearts of other people. Now you may ask, what was it that Joseph did that encouraged the faith of others? Well, I'm glad you asked. He left his bones as a standing sermon to the children of Israel. In Genesis, it tells us that Joseph was embalmed and he was put in a coffin in Egypt, and his bones were kept with the children of Israel. And I believe that every time an Israelite thought about the bones of Joseph, he thought, we're going to go out of this country one day. Third, when Joseph commanded that his bones be carried up out of Egypt, he demonstrated his faith in the power of the resurrection. You see, the Old Testament saints had a hope of the resurrection. Now, their understanding of the resurrection is a little different from ours today, but they believed in the resurrection and they wanted to be raised together with their people and their family. Look with me in Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day on this earth. And can I just say this? The latter day that this refers to is referring to the millennial reign of Christ on this earth in the last day. Now I want you to listen to what Joseph said. This verse should be repeated. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. And though after my skin's worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold him, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Joseph's hope, like the hope of Job, was in the resurrection. You may ask me, how do you know? Well, first, Joseph looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God had promised his father Abraham, today we'd say it was his great-grandfather, that the Messiah would come who would be the Savior of the world. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Then look at verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And in the book of Galatians teaches us that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that Abraham has become a blessing to the whole world. Abraham looked forward in faith to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this about Abraham in John chapter 8, verse 56. He says this, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Old Testament saints, as Dad said in Sunday school this morning, the Old Testament saints looked forward to the coming of the Savior. And today, we look back to the work of the Savior on the cross. Abraham had to be saved by faith, and you and I have to be saved by faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, And he, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. By faith, our sins are forgiven. And by faith, we are accounted righteous in Jesus Christ. The Israelites were to demonstrate their faith by waiting for the promised seed, the Christ child, in the promised land. This was the covenant that God had made with the children of Israel. Listen to what God said to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, we'll see God's promise to Abraham. He says, And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Then look at the promise that's given to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 26, 2 and 3. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And then the promise is passed down to Jacob. Look in Genesis chapter 48, verses 3 and 4. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people. And I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Joseph looked forward in faith to the spiritual blessings that are revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. And this made Joseph say, I'm no Egyptian. I am one of the seed that the Lord has chosen. I look for the coming of the Messiah. I have a part among the people of God. And in this, he leaves an example for his children. You see, he married an Egyptian woman, and his children were half Egyptian. But he seems to say to his children, You're not an Egyptian. You're Israelites. He leaves a spiritual heritage for his children. Can I ask you a question this morning, parents and grandparents? What kind of heritage are you leaving for your children? Joseph's final instructions concerning his bones proved his faith in the promise that God would give the land to his children. The land that was promised to his father Abraham, and he believed that he would be raised with his people. And if you're here and you're saved this morning, we have the same promise of the resurrection.
Right.
Look with me now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can I just say this to you this morning? If you're here and you're saved, we will meet the Lord in the air, in person, when He comes for us. As my old pastor used to say, we'll take a plain air ride into glory and we'll see Him face to face. If we walk by faith with Christ on this earth, then we'll meet Him in the air.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says that we shall see Him as He is. And it also says we shall be changed. 1 John 3:2 says this, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a meeting that will be. What a glorious meeting it will be. What a day that will be. Because we'll have glorified bodies. The suffering that we endure today will be transformed into glory whenever Christ returns.
Amen. Right.
This morning, I want to ask you to search your heart and see, are you ready to meet the Lord? If He were to return today, would you meet Him in the air? Do you have this hope that we've been talking about this morning? Death is a fact of life. The only way that we're going to escape death is to be alive whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns.
That's right.
Death is not an accident. It's an appointment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So the question this morning is this. If you were to die today, where would your soul go? We as Christians have a wonderful assurance. We have a wonderful hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior today. We don't serve a Savior that's still in the grave. We serve a risen Savior.
Right.
And He has promised that He is going to return for us today. The question is, do you have that hope? Joseph's hope was in the resurrection. Where is your hope? If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you ought to come today and leave with the hope of the resurrection. Leave with the hope of a home in heaven.
Yeah.
If you're here and you're lost, the invitation is for you to come today. Accept Christ as your Savior and leave here as a new creature in Christ Jesus with a hope of the resurrection and a home in heaven. If you're here and you're saved, God's called us to walk by faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It should be our desire as Christian people to please God. Joseph walked daily by faith in God. But I wonder how many of us, when the circumstances of life come upon us, when we're faced with difficult circumstances and situations in our life, I wonder how many of us end up depending on ourselves instead of depending on the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you need to walk more closely to Him by faith. The invitation is for you to come and begin a closer walk with the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around for just a minute. Brother Tim's going to come and prepare us a hymn of invitation. But maybe you're here this morning, and I wonder how many are here this morning that could say to me, John David, if I were to die today, I know for sure that I would open my eyes in heaven. I know for sure that I would be in it, that heaven is my home. I know that I'm saved. I have no doubt about it. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand this morning all over this house? I'm saved and I know it. I have no doubt about it. Praise the Lord for those hands all over the house. But maybe you're here this morning and you couldn't raise your hand. Let me just say this. The most important thing that you will ever do is trust Christ to save you. If the message has touched you this morning, and you know that you're lost and you need to be saved, would you raise your hand this morning and show the Lord your concern? And this church will pray with you. We just want to pray for you. Nobody's going to come and embarrass you. Not going to point you out to anybody. We'd just like to pray for you this morning. If there's a person here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you realize it for the first time today, would you raise your hand? Just let us pray for you this morning all over the house. Anywhere, anyone. There may be a person that's here this morning. You know that you're saved, but you're not walking as closely to the Lord as you should be. You can begin a closer walk of faith with Him today. If you're here and you'd like to begin a closer walk with Him today, would you raise your hand and let us pray for you this morning? Anywhere? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. There may be a person here this morning that you don't have a church home. You'd like to unite with us in fellowship here at Boone's Creek Baptist Church. We'd love to have you come and join us. If that's the case, we'd like to invite you to come this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, we want to invite you to come. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come. We can share your word this morning, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would just speak to hearts now. Lord, there are those that say they need to have a closer walk with you, Lord. We pray that you'd help them to come. They begin a closer walk with you this morning. Lord, if there's one here who doesn't know you, we pray they'd come to know you before they leave today. We ask you to take the invitation. Use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet, if you need to be saved, come forward to the front. We'll show you from the Bible exactly how you can be saved. If you need to come and tell your problems and cares to the Lord, come and bring them to Him. And He'll take care of you. If the Lord's leading you, we will invite you to come. Brother Tim, as we sing.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. And if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again visit us on the website, WimsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.